Genesis 26. We'll begin reading there in verse 12. Verse 12. I know you just sat down, but we like to play calisthenics around here, so it's good exercise anyway. Amen. Genesis 26, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Anytime the Lord blesses, amen, that's a good thing. And the man waxed great, and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines, notice, envied him. For all the wells, in verse 15, which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, Isaac's father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. I'll leave off reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, I pray you'd remove all distractions from my mind, from everyone else's mind. Lord, the things that have gone on today. Lord God, the things that we have pending tomorrow. And Lord, we know that life is busy. God, please, I pray you take control tonight of our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Or you may be seated. Let's look in verse 19. Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. I want to preach to you tonight. I'm going to go back to where I started a couple weeks ago on the blessings of being filled with the Spirit of God. The blessings of being filled with the Spirit of God. And here we have a beautiful example here in the book of Genesis, way back in the book of Genesis, of the blessings and what it means, and a beautiful picture really of being filled with the Spirit, and some of the details that I've talked to you about already in the past service, preaching service, about this doctrine of being filled with the Spirit. There again, it is not, it's not a suggestion that God makes to his people. It is a direct order. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. And but all the way back in the book of Genesis, and by the way, as you read in the Old Testament, always be looking out for types, okay? For things that, although they primarily mean, this is just really just history, what this is here in Genesis 26. This is historical documentation of the Jews, Abraham and Isaac, and their wanderings and their travels and how God dealt with them. But also there's some typology here, or some representation, if you will, and I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. In the Bible, water is many times a type of the Holy Spirit. Water. Now, hold your place here in Genesis 26, and let me show you some examples of that. Go over to John chapter 7, in the New Testament. John chapter 7. Water in the Bible, many times, a type of the Holy Spirit. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see that? Verse 39 in parentheses says, though, the Holy Spirit saying this to you and to me, but this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, which they that believe on him should receive. And that's us, amen? That's us, folks. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So there, we have Jesus talking about, he's just preaching. He said, now, they didn't have any idea what he was talking about. He said, if you thirsty, come to me and drink. If you believe on me, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what must they have thought? What is this man talking about? Well, it didn't really matter what they thought, because it was the Word of God. Say amen. So go back to John chapter 4. Let me show you another example. John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, of course we know that's salvation, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee, what? Living water. Of course, he's talking to the woman at the well there. He's talking about the living water. There's no water, literal H2O water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, salvation. Okay? Now, work our way back to the Old Testament. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2 tonight. Jeremiah chapter 2. And then let me show you another verse here, verse 13. Speaking of water being a type of Holy Spirit, when I say a type, all I mean is it represents, okay? It represents the Holy Spirit, and it helps shed light on many passages of Scripture, like the one in Genesis we'll talk about here in a minute. Verse 13, For my people have committed two evils, God says. They have forsaken me, notice, the fountain of living waters. What does that mean? That means the very source. Are you listening? Are y'all there in Jeremiah 2? So the fountain, he said, My people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What God's saying is my people have traded in the source of living water for their own cisterns or vessels that don't even hold water. Amen. That's what the world's still doing today, aren't they? The world is still choosing things that, like the book of Haggai says, bags, where they put all their bags, money in bags full of holes. Where their money just goes through and out and they never have anything. So the Bible, many times, of course, Jesus being talking about the living water in the New Testament, God we see here in Jeremiah is the source, the fountain of that very living water. Okay? So, go back to Genesis chapter 26. Abraham, we read in Genesis 26, Abraham had dug wells for his flocks, wells for his sheep and cattle. Okay, they were farmers. He and Isaac both. They had many cattle, many flocks, many sheep. Well, Abraham had dug these wells for his flocks and his herds. I don't need to tell you this. In Texas, they call them stock tanks, I guess. But he had dug these wells for one reason. For his flocks, his animals, to be able to live, to survive. Water is necessary for life. Are you listening? Now, as a matter of fact, there's a rule of threes, humanly speaking, of course. You can live for about 3 minutes, give or take, without air. That's the rule of thumb. I'm talking about the average human, okay? Now, there are Navy SEALs who can go underwater for 10 minutes. I don't know. They're not human, okay? And they have full gear on, okay? They're not human. But the average human can only live for about 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter in very harsh conditions, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. That's the average human being. So the 3 days without water, that's not a whole long time. Water flows through our blood, obviously. Water carries oxygen. Water carries nutrients to our cells and flushing out waste out of our bodies. Water cushions our joints. Water softens our tissues. Without water, as a routine part of our intake, we can't digest, we can't absorb food. So water is essential for human life. So here in the Bible, what we see is we have Abraham back in his day. Now, Isaac's the one that we're reading about, but he says, God tells us, that Abraham found a source of water there in the land, and he dug the wells. He met with opposition. Now, look in verse... Let's read verse 14. He had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him, speaking of Isaac, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Notice, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. So, in order to find a well, you've got to find the source of water. I mean, every well, you can't just go out here and dig in the front yard or the backyard. or any side of this yard. Well, you'll find water over here, but that's, you don't understand what I mean. But you can't go down digging. We're talking about digging a well in the ground, digging down to where you find water. There's a source of water somewhere. Abraham found the source of water. He dug the wells. Now, what do you do when you dig these wells? You dug out the dirt. You dug down into the ground, and you got to the water. But he met with opposition. The Philistines had stopped them up and filled them with dirt. That's what earth is, obviously. Now, Isaac is out there with his herds and flocks and his many, by the way, he had, the Bible says there, he had many, a great store of servants. He had men. Men need water too. So he had a great need for water. His dad had found water, but now his enemies had filled up the wells with dirt. So Isaac was in need of something that he could have had, that his dad had, but now he didn't have it. Isaac was now faced with the need for water, so what did he do? The Bible says in verse 18, Isaac digged again the wells of water. Now, let me get to the spiritual application here tonight. We have the source of living water right here in our hands.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God. Okay? Now, before we got saved, the Holy Spirit was not in us. But this has always been His Word. I hope you're saved tonight. As far as I know, you're all born again. But even before you got saved, this was the source of living water. This is how you found out about the living water, the Holy Spirit. It was through the Word of God. So we have the source of water right here. We have also now, as Christians, we have that living water in us. Remember Jesus said, out of His belly shall flow living water, rivers. I mean, rivers of living water. What does that mean? By the way, living water means it's water that's always there. It's always flowing. It doesn't stagnate, okay? It doesn't just stop and then dry up. It's living water means it's always moving, okay? There's always a source. It never stops. That's what it means. It's a springing water. It's a well of living spring up. It springs up. That means it's always there. There's no end to it. So, in our analogy here, what we're talking about, remember being filled with the Spirit, is having the source of living water here, the Word of God. And then what I told you a couple weeks ago was we have to pray ourselves clean. Remember I told you that? I said pray, pour, and purge. Okay. So praying ourselves clean, what is that? Well, that's a picture of digging the wells.
Amen.
Okay? Remember, the water was there before they dug the well.
Right.
The water was there before they dug the well. They just didn't have access to it until they got all that dirt out of the way.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Y'all understanding this? And so they got all that dirt out of the way, and they got down to the source of water where they could finally get to it so they could drink it. I mean, it doesn't do any good under the ground where you can't get to it. It's there. By the way, it's there for everybody.
Right.
It's there for everybody. And every Christian that ever is truly born again has that living water in them. It's flowing out of their own belly. But many times, there's too much dirt.
Amen.
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 In us. In our hearts. And so we don't really have, we don't really taste of it. We don't really drink of it. It doesn't do us any good. It's there. But we don't dig the wells.
Right.
We don't cleanse ourselves of the things that are hindering us from the fullness. The water is what we need for life. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
We need that water, like I told you. It's essential for not just human life, but spiritual life. It is our source of spiritual life.
Amen.
But there's so much dirt. We have to dig the wells. That's a picture of cleansing our hearts in prayer. Remember I said prayer is like the altar of prayer, sacrifice, burning it, just giving it all to God, letting Him clean. And then we pour ourselves full, like I told you. Okay, the water's there, it fills up the well. And then we purge ourselves from anything or anybody that would try to fill us with dirt again. Can I tell you this, though? Just like Abraham, just like Isaac, Don't please pay attention tonight. I'm not. Is everybody with me still? It's pretty simple.
Amen.
Just like Abraham, just like Isaac, though you're always going to be met with opposition.
Right. Amen.
There's always going to be people trying to put dirt back in the well.
Right. Amen.
There's always going to be people around you trying to refill you with dirt.
Amen.
Dirt.
Look.
Always. As a Christian, as a child of God, we need to keep the wells digged. We need to understand that there is a real enemy. The Philistines have always been an enemy of God.
Right.
And they just represent worldly people. They represent lost people. They represent people who don't like your God, who don't like your Bible, who don't like your Christian life, who don't like your church, who don't like your preacher. They represent those people who are trying to constantly. They have no idea what they're doing, but all they're doing is throwing dirt back in your well constantly.
Amen.
Constantly.
Right.
Constantly. And you and me have got to make it a natural, just a daily habit of redigging those wells.
Amen.
Redigging those wells. What I have over here tonight is just a little object lesson to help you understand all of this. I'm trying not to make it too big of a mess. Amen. Okay. What I have here is I have me a well. See that? Okay. This is my well. Okay. Over here, I have Jesus.
Amen.
The clearest vessel filled with pure, clean water. You'll never see a cleaner vessel than Jesus.
Amen.
He's filled with the purest water from the purest well. Okay, over here, I have an unsaved person full of dirt. After all, if you remember Genesis chapter 2, doesn't the Bible say God formed man out of the dust of the earth?
Amen. Yeah.
Pretty much every unsaved person. Okay? Now, what I have here is I have the source, okay? I have the source of living water. I have the well, okay? I have the Holy Spirit. I have God's power right here. I have the Word of God right here, okay? The water, the living water. Now, what God wants to do and what God has done for those of us who are saved is God has made us realize that this doesn't taste good. This does not edify me at all. I will not live long. I will not live healthy. I will not certainly not live any kind of abundant life filled with this. What God does is help me see this, knowing this, and God has me repent of my sin, and through His Holy Spirit, He then fills me with His living water. Amen? Now I'm saved. Amen? Now I'm saved. Are you listening? Now look, you'll realize, of course, you'll notice, it's not as clear as Jesus. Because we've still got dirt in there.
Right.
Because we're still humans. We're still sinners. Okay? But what God wants us to do is live filled with His water and turn our backs on the dirt that is this world and the Philistines and the things that we used to be and used to do and all of that. What God would have us do is, but then along comes the Philistines. Along comes the Philistines, right? And they just start putting dirt in constantly, constantly, constantly. And boy, you know, before you know it, it just gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Now what God wants us to do is live the rest of our lives in filth, right? No. Of course not. What He wants us to do is He wants us to purge all that dirt, amen, and refill from the well of living water. Amen. And then we got to purge it again and refill from the well of living water. And you know what? Each time it gets a little bit cleaner.
Amen.
Look at that. Every time it gets a little bit cleaner. And then we got to refill. And by the way, you got to do this every day. You got to do this 2 or 3 times a day.
Amen.
And look, it's a lot cleaner now. Hey, you know what? I'm a lot closer to Jesus than I was about 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Amen.
Okay, are you listening to me tonight? Now, this here is a bucket full of dirt. I'm not going to do it tonight for sake of cleanliness. But you know what the Philistines are trying to do? Like I said, they're trying to fill this well with this dirt.
Right.
I was going to pour it in there, but I've decided against it. especially now since it's mud and it'll slop everywhere, okay? But they're trying to fill, but this well, listen to me, this well is pure, crystal clear. The Bible says in heaven, from the throne of God, proceeding from the throne of God is the river of life, which is crystal clear. My pastor, Brother Ogden, you know him, he always talked about how he's going to go fishing in that river and he's going to be able to see every fish that he catches. Amen. Before he even catches it. I don't know about that. I'm not sure if we're going to go fishing in heaven or not. But you understand, the illustration is simply this. God wants us to stay filled with His water, but the Philistines are constantly trying to... doesn't that look yummy? It does to Seth. If you like mud pies, that looks wonderful. But I don't like mud pies. And by the way, that's a good illustration. Thank you, Lord. As a young child, I used to play with stuff like that. Now, maybe you ladies didn't. If you did, you can't admit it. Okay. But as boys, we play with mud. Come on, guys, right? We play with mud. I think Seth probably still does, and I'm not going to tell Samuel anything, but listen, as we grow up, you know, we don't play with mud anymore. Really, we don't. I don't play with mud anymore. Not on purpose. I'm doing this for your sakes. Okay, but I don't play with mud anymore. Why? Because I've grown up. Because I'm more mature than I was when I was, little. As a Christian, that ought to be the same thing. We ought to not keep playing in the mud that we used to play in. Amen. We ought to leave it all alone, put it all away, and let God fill us with His water. Again, it's going to be dirty because I got to get rid of it, more of it. I'll try to get as much as I can. I'm going to use the water that God gives me to cleanse my heart, my mind. Boy, that looks a lot cleaner, doesn't it? There's no shortage of dirt, folks.
Right.
There's no shortage of dirt in your life around you. There's no shortage of Philistines in your life. There's no shortage of the living water either. It's a well of living water that flows. Jesus, God, has said, I am the fountain of that living water. So He's the fountain. There's no end to it. Okay? But what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is simply this. If I'm going to be filled, first of all, I'm going to have to dig the wells. I'm going to have to make sure I stay away from the Philistines and keep them away from my wells. And I'm going to have to keep myself as clean as I can, because filled with the Spirit of God is where the blessings of God are found. The blessings are not in the dirt. The blessings are in the water. The dirt does me no good. I can't drink it. I can't eat it. All I can do is get dirtier. The water is essential for my life. Are you listening? Do you see the difference now? So let's think about that as we preach this message. I won't be long tonight, but I want to start there. Can I tell you something, by the way? Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. We are not as many. Notice that word many. The Apostle Paul saying, me and my fellow missionaries, we are not like many or most, notice, which corrupt the what? The Word of God. Now, I'm not going to do it like I said, because it's... But if I started scooping this into this well, I should have got me a spoon and done that. What happens is I've corrupted the well. The source. Are you listening to the source? Now you say, well, wait a minute, can that happen? Oh yeah, that can happen. How does that happen, preacher? You know what that happens is? New Revised Version.
Right.
Revised Standard Version. New International Version. English something something version. The list goes on about 200 names. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the devil taking the dirt of this old world, the dirt of his filth, and contaminating, corrupting the Word of God. The Word, by the way, if the Word of God is corrupt, if the well is corrupt, then how am I ever going to be filled?
Right. Amen.
America has corrupted the well.
Amen.
America continues to corrupt the well. Because they continue to come out every year with two or three different versions of the Bible. And you know, they don't compare them to each other. They always compare them to the King James. Why is that? Because they know this is the standard. Because they know this has the authority. Because they know this is the one that everybody hates. But they know this is the one that has the power.
Amen. Amen.
This is the living water, the Word of God. Not all of those words, but the very living Word of God. By the way, it says every word of God is pure.
Amen.
But you know what happens is when you start throwing dirt in there, you corrupt. It says many. Many are doing that. Well, why do you think America's in the condition it's in? Because the house of God doesn't even have the Holy Spirit anymore. The church is... And listen, if God's people are filled with dirt, what's going to be with the rest of the world? We can't expect the heathen to be filled with the Spirit. They're not saved. We can't expect the lost people to be filled with that living water. They're not even saved. But the dirt that's in them is just as much in God's people anymore because the waters are contaminated. God's people have the... We have the blessed privilege and honor, listen to me, to be filled with the absolute purity of God.
Amen.
I mean, this. If you don't get the picture, then you just ain't listening.
Right.
But there's a real problem here. There's a real problem with the Philistines over there with Isaac, but it ain't stopped. It has not stopped. It's got a lot worse.
Yeah.
We've got everything in this world throwing dirt in my water. Jack Hiles preached a message one time. He said, "Get your stinking feet out of my drinking water." Hey, man, I like it. I'm going to preach that one of these days. That's my kind of message right there. Get your stinking feet out of my drinking water.
Man.
I mean, I don't want people's... Anyway, I don't want the dirt off of their feet or any other part of their body in my drinking water, in my living water, in my Word of God, in my source of life, by the way. My strength. America's facing, you know what we're facing today? We're facing a great need for living water. That's why we're dying. Are y'all listening tonight? That's why America is so dead spiritually. Because dirt doesn't do anything for you. You can eat a mud pie all day long, Seth, but it will not do anything for you, friend.
Right.
Sooner or later, you're going to need water. You're going to need water. So what are we going to do, preacher? You know what we're going to do? We're going to dig again like Isaac did, and we're going to let the well be filled with the living water. Are you listening? We're going to dig the dirt out that the world keeps trying to put in. We're going to keep my Bible, the King James Bible. I'm not going to dabble in any of that other mess. I'm not going to stick my nose in anybody else's dirt. I'm going to stay pure as I possibly can in the Word, the living, the real, the Bible, in all of its purity and its power. And I'm going to keep pouring myself full of it as I keep digging out the dirt.
Amen.
And staying away from the Philistines.
Amen.
You got Philistines are everywhere.
Right.
Philistines are everywhere. Now, I'm not just talking about people, but the source of it is people. Now, I said being filled with the Spirit means, number one, I'm filled with Jesus Christ. I said being filled with the Spirit, number two, I'm filled with the Christ that cannot sin. I said being filled with the Spirit, these are blessings that I've already preached on, so I'm just going through these real quick as by way of review. I said being filled with the Spirit also is being filled with comfort in this world full of sin. And tonight I'm really just going to get to one more point because I wanted to do that illustration for you. Help you see Jesus Christ, the purest, unadulterated, undefiled form of example for us. And we can be filled with the same Spirit that He is. It's the same Holy Spirit. Except we still have some dirt mixed in there. But you know, we don't have to have globs of it. We don't have to be full of dirt. But tonight I'm going to talk to you about the fourth blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Go to John 14. John 14, verse 25. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter..." Of course, that's the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, "whom the Father will send in my name," He's already here, "He shall," notice, "teach you all things," notice, "and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So, the fourth thing I want to talk about tonight, the blessings of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When I'm filled with that Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit calls my attention to the Word of God. See, I'm filled with the Word of God, so that when I come face to face with a crossroads, my attention is drawn to the Word of God. My spirit, my mind, my heart are filled with the Word of God. So I'm making decisions based on the Bible. See, because the Holy Spirit is going to call to remembrance the things that He's taught me that I've learned from the Bible. So as I'm filled with that teacher, I'm filled with that reminder. It's kind of like that little bell on the oven when you're cooking biscuits or something and cookies, and you forget that they're in there, and you get that timer, and it goes ding, 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 ding. What is that telling you? Oh no, the cookies, right? They're burned now? No, the bell goes. The bell is set so you can go get them before you forget. Now, if you just let the bell go on and on and on, then that's your own dumb fault. And yeah, the cookies are burnt. But God has a Holy Spirit in us that wants to fill us with that glorious heavenly reminder, divine reminder. Look, when I'm faced with a decision in life, I can think Bible.
Amen.
I tell my family that all the time, and I probably told y'all that. You know, we need to think Bible.
Right.
Amen. We're not going to think Bible if we're not filled with the Bible.
Amen.
And then when we're filled with the Bible, God's going to bring to our remembrance, call to our attention, responding. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at that. I'll show you an example here. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. When I'm filled with the Spirit, He calls my attention to God's Word when I'm faced with decisions. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4. And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Stop right there. Jesus led up of what? The capital S Spirit. So, was he filled with the Spirit? Yeah, look back in verse 16 of chapter 3. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. The heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Right there is a picture of him being filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Okay? Then in chapter 4, verse 1, that same Holy Spirit led him into the what? Wilderness to be what? To be blessed?
Tempted.
You mean Jesus was tempted to sin? You mean Jesus' faith was tried? You mean Jesus, oh yeah, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin.
Man.
The Holy Spirit led Him though. So be very careful. Listen, this is another message. Be very careful when you face temptations and trials and tests. Be very careful that you don't start blaming God for forgetting about you, because like I told you before, God's always in control of His people.
Amen. Amen.
The Holy Spirit, look, verse 2. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, when the tempter came, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones. Now, what's he saying right there? He said, if you're God, command these stones. Now, right off the bat, he's putting doubts. He's trying to put doubts in Jesus' head about who He is, about if the Bible's real, about if it's true, or if it's fake, or if it's just a game, or it's a fable, or if it's fact. Are you listening to me? That's what He does to you every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Tries to make you doubt everything.
Amen.
You can sit there and look at me like that ain't true, but I know it's true.
Amen.
He tries to make you doubt everything. And so what did Jesus say? Jesus said, oh no, what do I do now? No, Jesus said, as it is written. He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Bible. He's referring to the Bible because he was filled with the Bible, because he was filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
So when he faced a decision, do I doubt? Do I follow God? Do I follow Satan? God told me to fast here. I'm not done fasting yet, so I can't eat yet. But Satan says I can go ahead and change. Satan says I have the power. And you're in a battle, and you're stinking, and your little brain's going back and forth. Bing, bing, bing. You know what I'm talking about? You're at a crossroads where you got to make a decision. Well, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do? Panic. Well, y'all are dead tonight. That's okay. You're just going to panic.
Yeah.
Better yet, you're probably going to respond just like the rest of the world responds, in fear, follow the devil, because you're afraid maybe he's right.
Right. Come on.
But Jesus, on the contrary, thank God for him, was filled with the very pure living water.
Amen.
And he had exactly the answer. You know what it was? Bible.
Amen.
Why? Because he was filled with it. So see, the Holy Spirit brought that to his attention. Brought that. He, of course, he is the living Word of God. He knows it all. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit teaches us, and then he reminds us when we need it the most. Isn't that a blessing? He teaches us. That's why you come to Sunday school. That's why you come to Sunday morning. You come to Sunday night. You come to Wednesday night. You come to prayer ministry. Because every time you come to soul, why? Because you're going to learn more Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
You're going to learn more Bible at this church you are anyway.
Amen.
And then when you learn that, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you that through the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, just even through another Christian.
Amen.
By the way, your conversation ought to be holy even in church.
Amen.
Especially in church.
Amen.
But then you're going to learn something. Somebody's going to say something you didn't understand, you didn't know about. And so you're going to learn. And then, boy, when you get out there on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, throughout the week, you're going to be faced with decisions. The devil's going to be trying his best to muddy that water. Muddy that water. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to pour that out, get yourself filled with the Word of God again, and let the Holy Spirit call your attention to God's Word so you can know what to do.
Amen.
So you don't get your... What if Jesus would have done what the devil said? Well, he would have sinned. Well, and we know that's not possible, but it is for us.
Right. Amen.
It's very possible.
Amen.
It's even easy. It's easy to sin. Because
yeah.
We're by nature, that's who we are. I'm hurrying here. I got a lot to say, but man, I'm telling you, we must respond to situations according to what the Bible says.
Amen.
We're not going to, if we're not filled with the Bible, filled with the Spirit, who's going to call our attention to the Word of God when we need it the most? Well, in other words, we need to learn to act based on Bible principle, not just react based on pressure.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody else is doing it. My classmates are doing it. My co-workers are doing it. My neighbors are doing it. Even my husband's doing it. My wife's doing it. My parents are doing it. My children are doing it. That's pressure. Are you listening? That's old-fashioned pressure.
Amen.
And not good pressure either. I'm talking about bad peer pressure, making you want to doubt God and doubt and fear. But if you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, He would call your attention to the Word of God in spite of the pressure, and you'll remember what you need to do when you need it the most.
Amen.
Now that's a pretty big blessing to me, because I don't like making a fool of myself. I don't like making a fool. You can sit there, maybe you do. I don't like making a fool of myself.
Amen.
I don't like destroying what God's trying to do by making a dumb decision and going in the wrong direction, doing something I should have. Listen, I should have known not to. Because I'm saved, I have access to the living water, I have a Bible probably in every bedroom, every room in my house, but yet I'm making dumb decisions, I'm making fool of myself, because I'm not filled with the one who calls my attention to the Word of God when I need it the most.
Yeah.
Because the time is going to come daily when you need to make right decisions. Daily, folks, daily. How are you going to decide? What are you going to decide? Well, if the Holy Spirit's filling you, He's going to lead you. He's going to call your attention to the Word of God. It's that little bell's going to go, hey, remember that verse? Hey, remember that preacher? Hey, remember that message? Hey, remember that Sunday school lesson? Hey, remember what I told you yesterday? Whew. Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
I almost went the wrong direction. That's a blessing, folks. I don't know if y'all getting what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the blessings of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you can come ahead and stick your face in this mud. I'm not going to do that. Y'all are waiting for me to do that. Now, I can come
ahead. Amen. Come on.
And then I would look dumb.
Amen.
I would look stupid.
Amen.
But you know, you do things
that
make you look a lot dumber than dirt in your face
right.
when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We all do, don't we?
Amen.
I would rather have dirt all over my face than some of the things that I've had to do because of my lack of spirituality. Come on now. I can go wash this off. Amen. I can wipe this off. I'm not going to. You all just wait for me to do that, aren't you? I'm not going to do that because I didn't bring a bib. But listen, I can wipe that off. I can wash my clothes and go home and sleep peacefully. But when you make dumb decisions, when we make dumb decisions in our life that cause very serious consequences, we can't wash it off.
Right.
We can't just wash our clothes.
Amen.
And we don't sleep peacefully.
That's right.
We need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To fill us. So that when that decision comes, ping, He draws my attention to the Word of God. He makes me remember, oh yeah, that's right. Thank you, God. I may not be able to quote it word for word. I may not know exactly where it's at, but I know it. Oh, that's right. I heard something like that in the Bible one time when preacher was preaching. Oh yeah, thank you, God. You just saved me a whole bunch of shame.
Amen.
Embarrassment. You just saved my family a whole bunch of hurt and heartache.
Right.
This is a blessing I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Where I know that He's going to call my attention to the Word of God. Where I'm going to act based on Bible principle, not react because of pressure around me. This is where this is really what you want to call this. This is where the Spirit of God produces wisdom in our hearts. Wisdom. If you remember, the 1 Corinthians 1:24, Jesus is the wisdom of God. So to be filled with the Spirit of God is to be filled with the wisdom of God. That's what I'm talking about. Boy, we need wisdom. Jesus was walking wisdom. Jesus is walking wisdom. That living water is nothing but wisdom. Amen. And when we get dirt full, we can't discern what's going on. We can't tell what we need to do. We need the purity and the power and the wisdom of God every single day.
Amen.
It doesn't come from any other source. God, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth He giveth understanding. His words, these are the words of God, the very wisdom of God. God's wisdom, listen to me, is the only light. Look in Psalm 119 quickly. I'm almost done. Psalm 119, 105. Very well known verse. I want you to look at these quickly with me. God's wisdom, God's Word, God's Holy Spirit filling me, drawing my attention to make decisions that are wise so I don't make a fool of myself and destroy my family and my marriage and my children and my own life. Psalm 119, 105. Thy Word. You could say right there, Thy wisdom. You could say right there, Jesus. He is the Word, isn't He?
Amen.
Thy Word is a what? A lamp unto my feet. And a light unto my path. That's the only light that's going to keep you in the paths of righteousness. It's the Word of God. In those paths of righteousness where Jesus, the Bible says according to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's leading me to do right. He's leading me to make right decisions. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's dark out here, Lord, I can't see everything. But Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they what? Comfort me. Why? Because you're leading me in the paths of righteousness. So I can go home at night and lay my head on my pillow and know I didn't do anything foolish.
Amen.
Because the Word of God filled me. And then when I needed it most, the Holy Spirit said, remember this. Go that way. That's righteousness. That's the. By the way, there is no other light in this world that's going to lead you in righteousness. None. It's the only light that keeps our feet in the paths of righteousness. The Word of God. I'm talking about the wisdom being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah chapter 20. Look over there. Jeremiah chapter 20. The wisdom of God. The filling of the wisdom. The filling of the Holy Spirit is nothing more than being filled with God's wisdom. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Well, let's read verse 7. Oh Lord, Thou hast deceived me. Oh really? Now there's a man who's discouraged. Hey, does God deceive us? Does God trick us? Does God lead us astray? No. But when you start saying that, you know what's wrong? You're discouraged. Lord, Thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I. Oh yeah. There's a logical statement. And has prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Jeremiah is a preacher, by the way. He's just a Christian like you and me. And he said, Lord, I thought you were on my side. Everybody's making fun of me. Did you trick me, Lord? Did you lie to me? See the doubts. See the doubts that are coming here? For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of God, the word of the Lord, was made a reproach unto me. And a derision daily. They're laughing at me because I believe the Bible. They're laughing at me because I preach the Bible. They're laughing at me. They're making fun of me daily. Daily. Every day.
Right.
Not just on Christmas and Easter. Every day. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. I'm done. I quit. Now this is not just some new Christian. Okay, this is not some new believer. This is a man that God greatly used as a prophet. This is a man who has been forever preserved in God's Word as an example for us. And he says, I quit. I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. I'm done. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to witness anymore. I'm not going sowing anymore. I'm not teaching my Sunday school class. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not working junior church. I'm not driving that van. I quit! But, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. I quit. I'm not doing it anymore. But God's word so filled my bones, I couldn't stop. God's word is the only light that keeps me in the path of righteousness. Listen, but God's word is the only fire that keeps me pushing forward for Christ when I don't feel like it. The only fire. You know what fire does? Fire gets you moving. Go ahead, light a fire under your feet and see if you stand still. Fire gets you moving. You know, those race cars, NASCAR and other races, they put very high octane fuel, and that thing burns so hot that there's literally flame shooting out the exhaust. You know why? Because they're moving fast, 200, 250 miles an hour. Fire gets you moving. The Word of God is the only fire that's going to keep you going for Christ,
yeah.
pushing forward when you don't feel like it.
Amen.
When you don't feel like it. But you know, if you just keep putting dirt in it, dirt, by the way, you know, I know water puts out fire, but dirt puts it out a lot faster than water. Number three, Word of God is the only light that keeps us in the past, only fire that keeps us pushing for Christ. Chapter 23 of Jeremiah, verse 29. Chapter 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues, and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, cause my people to err by their lies, by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. But verse 29 says, not only is it like a fire, it's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Now, I'm talking about the Word of God being the only hammer, number one, that kills our pride, that breaks our pride in pieces. The only way a person would go around lying about the Bible like these prophets were, because their heart's so hard with pride. Because they think that they know better. Right? I mean, there's no other explanation for a person saying, well, this is a lie. This is not true. That is Satan's number one ploy, pride. So the hammer of this book hammers our hearts and keeps in pieces so we don't get hard with pride.
Amen.
You know, you need some good, strong, solid, straightforward preaching.
Amen.
You don't need me to tickle your feet.
Amen.
You don't need me to whisper in your ear and play coochie-coochie with you. You need me to preach the Bible.
Amen.
That's what's wrong with our country today is nobody's standing up preaching this book and everybody's hearts are rotten.
Amen.
Absolutely rotten. Because they're full of themselves and they think they're their God and nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, I like it when the Bible cuts me and hammers on me because I don't want to be an idiot. I'm talking about being filled.
Right.
Blessings. See, your pride is going... By the way, pride brings a man low. Before, the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction. I need a hammer to keep my heart tender. Kill the pride in me. I also need a hammer in this to help me, listen, to help kill the false prophecies around me, to keep me away from those false prophets. You know what most of the dirt that the Philistines try to put into our hearts nowadays is false doctrine.
Right.
You don't drink that? False doctrine. You know what that is? It's just you go ahead and be religious. Don't worry about that. Just don't be a Bible believer.
Yeah.
But see, the Bible helps me stay straight on course with the sound doctrine, and it kills those false lying prophets. I don't have anything to do with them. How? Because I know the difference. Remember, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit calling to remembrance. Hey, 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 that's not right. Hey, hey, that's false doctrine. Hey, they're lying. Hey, don't forget what the Bible says.
Amen.
Okay. It kills my pride. It's a hammer that kills my pride. It's a hammer that kills the false prophecies around me. By the way, it's the only hammer that you'll find to do those things. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. And finally, turn over to Matthew 7. I'm done. Matthew chapter 7. God's Word. The filling of the living water in my heart. Filling me. Calling to remembrance these things that I need. The Word of God, God's wisdom, the only light to keep me in the path of righteousness, the only fire to keep me pushing for Christ when I don't feel like it, the only hammer that kills my pride, the only hammer that kills the false prophecies around me, and lastly, it's the only rock that keeps my precious loved ones secure. Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, these words, doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house. And he's not talking about four walls and a roof. He's talking about your family.
Amen.
The rain descended, the floods came and beat upon that house, beat upon that family, beat upon that husband, that wife, those children, beat upon those precious loved ones that looked to you to do right, and it fell not. Why? It was founded upon a rock. It's the only rock that will keep our precious loved ones safe and secure, because the storm is coming.
Amen.
God's not talking about the windows and the furniture. He's talking about the family.
Amen.
The family. Family. I need to be filled with that living water.
Amen.
Without any dirt, without as little dirt as possible. So the Holy Spirit can be working and always springing up within me and calling to remembrance. Hey, don't forget that verse. Hey, don't forget that principle. Hey, don't forget that light. You're wandering out of the path. Get back. Hey, this is you're full of yourself. And humble yourself and get back over here. It's the rock. It's the hammer. It's the fire. It's the light. It's the wisdom of God that keeps us right with God from getting ourselves full of dirt and our faces muddied and our hearts broken and our lives destroyed. You know, if I would have to weigh out the two, do I want to fill my life with living water or dead dirt? It's really not a hard decision based on this illustration, but yet, what are you going to do tomorrow?
Yeah.
What are you going to wake up and do tomorrow? You're going to dig out that well tomorrow morning and get a full, heavy, long, tall, cold drink of that water before you face the world? Or are you just going to go out there full of dirt? Hey, because that's all we are without Christ.
Amen.
Dirt. Without Christ, that's all we are, brother. Dirt.
Amen.
I want to be filled with that water. I need His blessings. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, I thank You for Jesus, Lord. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit and Your Bible. Thank You, Lord, for using this simple illustration tonight. I pray Your people would listen. And Lord, I pray that they would love You, that they would hate, Lord God, what this old world of Philistines try to do to their home and their hearts, their families, their own future, God. I pray, Lord, You'd help us to want to be filled with this living water, Lord. God bless the invitation tonight. I pray for those that are still struggling, Lord, with purging and pouring and praying themselves, digging those wells clean, God. God, please help us. Help us to be honest with ourselves tonight. Lord, to realize, Father, that our face is just getting deeper and deeper. And our hearts are getting more and more filled with dirt. And Lord, it's going to come to a point where we're just going to spiritually die. Lord, help us tonight, please. Bless Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together tonight.